Now, EU leaders had a long video conference last night, 1 year into the pandemic. Vaccine frustrations, border closures, and also the idea of vaccine passports were on the agenda. And Commission President Ursula von der Leyen told the media EU vaccine certificates could be ready to use within 3 months, although many political issues remain to be resolved.
The decision on what you are able to do potentially with such a vaccination certificate is to be decided particularly within each country. But at the EU level, I believe we should use them to ensure the functioning of the single market. Member states will need to move fast with the implementation if we want such a green certificate to be in place by summer. Beyond agreeing on the principles and the technology, they will have to ensure a quick and complete rollout in their national health system and in their border systems.
Commission President Ursula von der Leyen speaking to the media last night. Tony, this idea of vaccine passports, who are the countries pushing for this and what might the problems be?
Well, typically, Anya, the Mediterranean countries have been very keen on this idea because they're fairly desperate to revive their tourist industries for this tourist season. And if you have some kind of way of proving that you've been vaccinated, then that should make it easier for countries to receive tourists and for tourists to actually enjoy their holidays and for their hosts to enjoy bringing tourists in. So that's the idea behind it. And, there's quite a bit of enthusiasm for this. There's already an agreement between Greece and Israel on recognizing those who've been vaccinated in each other's country to be able to travel freely. The question is, how would this work at EU level? Because there are questions over whether or not you are still infectious, even though you've been vaccinated. Is there a legal, human rights issue to this? Can you be discriminated against if you haven't been vaccinated? If young people are last in the queue to be vaccinated, does that put them at a disadvantage? So there are lots of difficult questions, legal and sort of ethical, around this. But there is growing momentum to have some kind of system in place. And the Commission is now going to work on a platform that would recognize national certificates. I mean, this stuff is done, has been done for years by the World Health Organization. People will be familiar with a yellow document showing that they're vaccinated against yellow fever and so on. So it would be something like that. But there are technical and obviously sort of moral and ethical questions around it as well.
There's also the idea of border closures to keep variants out. We've already seen Germany, for instance, trucks queuing at their borders. What did leaders manage to resolve on that front?
Well, ultimately, it is up to member states as to whether or not they can keep their borders open or closed. But the message last night and throughout this pandemic has been that this should be coordinated as far as possible. Green lanes should be kept open so that vital supplies can cross borders, and that, you know, every effort should be done to prevent the spread of new variants. And, you know, a big emphasis there is on much wider and quicker testing, genome sequencing to identify any new variants and any patterns that are emerging. Again, last night, you know, there was a lot of talk about the vaccine question, the rollout. Ursula von der Leyen was questioned quite intently by EU leaders about the contracts with pharmaceutical companies, the idea of ramping up production, not just in the pharmaceutical companies themselves, but, you know, other rival pharmaceutical companies could get involved in helping produce larger numbers. But again, you have a problem with the messaging behind this and the fact that there are thousands and thousands of doses of AstraZeneca vaccines which have arrived in member states, which simply aren't being used because there is this hesitancy around the AstraZeneca vaccine, especially in the over 65s. So that is a concern that leaders were discussing last night as well.
And Charles Michel, the council president, warning supply will be difficult for a few weeks to come. So there are no quick fixes for this for any of the EU leaders coming out of that video conference.
No, I mean, I think there's been a recognition that the first quarter and the first 3 months of this year have just been very difficult in terms of the contractual problems with companies like AstraZeneca, Pfizer, BioNTech. And then each member state have their own arrangements for rolling out vaccines. And of course, the Commission from the start has been saying, look, these things need to be coordinated. We need to make sure the rollout is happening as quickly as possible. But if the flow is being hampered at source, in other words, if the deliveries aren't being made, then that has held the whole thing up. But there is an expectation that in the second quarter, there will be much higher volumes coming into the system and some of those bottlenecks might start to be freed up.
And in other news, Tony, the Northern Ireland Protocol, is there some talk of a reset going on?
Yes, there is a concern among senior EU figures about the very fractious nature of the relationship between the UK and the EU from the very get-go, from the 1st of January. And we've had the ongoing problems with the Northern Ireland Protocol. We've got the issue of the EU embassy in London, the ban on certain kinds of UK shellfish. And there is a tentative plan in the works that would look for a kind of a reset at the end of April. Now, the European Parliament is due to formally ratify the free trade agreement that was concluded just before Christmas at the end of March, around the 24th of March. And then member states themselves would do the formal ratification from their point. And the idea would be that you have a kind of a handshake moment. You have some kind of semi-formal event which would mark the ratification of the future relationship treaty. And that would coincide with a package of measures which would try and resolve all of these outstanding issues which are causing so much friction, and that could somehow reset the relationship. But of course, there is the suspicion that perhaps for the Conservative Party, having a perpetual degree of tension with the EU even after membership is simply good for their base and good for Tory supporters. So this is being looked at as a highly delicate political problem, but one that, you know, it would be in the interest of both sides to really resolve with some kind of reset, possibly around the end of April.
Is there talk as well, Tony, or any talk of an EU-UK veterinary deal as part of easing that friction in the movements between Northern Ireland and the UK?
Yes, well, there is talk of some kind of bilateral veterinary agreement which would alleviate a lot of those trade barriers associated with the protocol, because the main problem is bringing food from Great Britain into Northern Ireland. You know, typically, if you bring food into the EU from a third country, then you need export health certificates, which are expensive, which are cumbersome. There are lots of things that you can't bring into the EU, such as sausage meat, non-frozen prepared meals and so on. There's the question of plants, soil and so on, seeds, seed potatoes. And in a sense, if there was a veterinary agreement between both sides, that could alleviate a lot of these problems. The issue is, what kind of agreement would you have? I mean, the EU have an agreement like this with Switzerland that has been built up over many years. But Switzerland effectively swallows the EU's regulations on food safety whole. And that's something the UK simply doesn't want to do for their own reasons. So the UK is looking at perhaps a New Zealand-style veterinary agreements, which would alleviate some of the friction, but not all of the friction. So these discussions are, again, happening very tentatively. There are no formal structures for these kind of talks at the moment, but that's something that both sides are tentatively looking at.
We'll see what the next couple of weeks will bring. For the moment, Tony Connolly, Europe Editor, thank you.